We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Okay, so the question for today is, how many people like Star Wars? Raise your hand if you like Star Wars. If you don't like Star Wars, raise your hand. Really? Seriously? I'll bribe you to like Star Wars. I don't understand how you can't like Star Wars. It's like theology. Good, evil, light, dark, good force, dark side, emperor, Jedi. None of this sounding familiar. What's your favorite Star Wars movie? Those of you who want to play and like Star Wars, give me one. Number four. Is that number one? Yeah, A New Hope. The New Hope, right? Number four is A New Hope. Yeah, that's like number one. But now it's four. But it used to be one. Yeah, 30 years ago. Which one? What's your favorite, Matt? Return of the Jedi. Who likes Jedi? Who likes Return of the Jedi? Is that your favorite? My favorite isn't, and Matt will correct me, because it's not really a Star Wars movie. It's sort of a Star Wars movie. My favorite's Rogue One, right? Did anybody see that last year? I loved it because they did such a great job setting up New Hope. So if New Hope's your favorite, you need to rent Rogue One, because it just set it. Anyhow, whole series on Star Wars, just three. You don't have to endure three, and we're going to show clips, but none more during this. No more clips during this, because these people don't like Star Wars. In 35 days from now, churches all around the world are going to get together, right? Because that's Christmas Eve. And they're going to have worship services. And somewhere in that worship service, I am willing to bet that most of those churches will read a very familiar story out of Luke's gospel, right? It's a story that we hear every year. And if you're like most people, when you hear that story, you think of Linus, right? Because that's what he did. He came out on stage when people were trying to figure out what Christmas was about. And does anybody know what Christmas is? And he says, I do, Charlie Brown. Lights, please. They dim the lights. The light goes on him. And he reads this story. And it's a story you know. It's a story we love. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Now, you'll hear those, chances are, in our service, if you come to one at 3, 5, 7, or 11. You'll hear that story. And if you're like most people, you're going to smile because you love that story. There are songs written about that story. Songs that make you smile. Songs that make you feel good. Songs that make you warm and fuzzy and glow, right? The only problem is, this is not supposed to be a warm, fuzzy, make me feel good story. If you were alive in the first century or second century, or if you're like Dave Cox and was alive in the third century, when you heard this story, you would have been worried. Because this story, when it was first told, for the first few hundred years, this was told, This story was the most subversive story ever written. It was a story that sparked a rebellion, and people were afraid to read this in public because of what would happen to them punishment-wise. Because this was not a good story for the rest of the world. Now, in order to understand why it was so rebellious, why it was so subversive, why people would almost cringe when they heard this story, I have to do what some of you hate that I do. I have to tell you the story behind the story, because there's a story behind the story. In order to understand this story, you got to know that story. See, we don't know what year Jesus was born. You with me on that? Now, I know someone's going to say, well, he was born in the year zero, right? He wasn't born in the year zero. There was no year zero. He was born somewhere between 6 BC and 4 BC. That's when he was born. Now, we may not know the exact year, but we know what was going on in the time that he was born. Jesus was born in the time of the Caesars, when the Caesars ruled the Roman Empire. And the Caesar he was born under was Octavius, who was took power in 27 BC. And he changed his name to Caesar Augustus, which means literally deity and majesty. That's what it means. Now, what you have to understand about Augustus is that he never claimed to be a god. He was one of the Caesars that never called himself a god. But he never let you forget that his dad, Julius, was a god. Julius Caesar saw himself as a god. So Augustus would always remind people that my dad was a god. And you know one of the titles for Augustus? Get this. Son of God. Sound familiar? You know another title for Augustus? Get this. Wait a second. Wait for it. Because there was peace in the Roman Empire during his entire reign, not only did he call himself the Son of God, he was also called the Prince of Peace. Sound familiar yet? And then to make matters worse, not only was he Son of God and Prince of Peace, he was also known as Lord, Savior, and King of Kings. And on all the Roman coinage under his reign, there was a phrase that was stamped on every one of them, and it said this: salvation is to be found in no other name other than Augustus. Does any of that sound familiar to you about someone else that we know? Anyone? I think Isaiah said it best. For unto you a child is born, and he shall be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Augustus, or someone say it. Look, in church, let me give you a hint. If a preacher asks the question, you have a pretty good guess if you say Jesus. Okay? I'm just saying. All right? We'll try again. Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Why? Not yet. I haven't asked the question. Does it sound like Augustus or
Jesus?
Look at that. I mean, right? And what we don't understand is that the Roman government did not mind you worshiping Jesus. They didn't care. You could worship Jesus. You could worship Zeus. You could worship the chair. It didn't matter to them. The only thing that mattered is that when you were in public, you did not go against the worship of the state religion, and the worship of the state religion was worshiping the Caesars. So they'd say, whatever you're doing in your house, go ahead and do. But when you're in public, you only worship Augustus or Julius or whichever Caesar was in power. But the followers of Jesus said no. They rebelled against that very thought because they didn't believe Augustus was Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. They didn't believe that it was only by his name they would be saved. In fact, if you read in Scripture, the book of Acts, Peter is on trial, and this is the statement he makes. You got it? There is salvation in no one else, Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. That is in direct rebellion to the Riglio, or the state religion. That's why this story sparked a rebellion, because the followers of Jesus had the nerve, the audacity, the guts, the courage to say, no, we're not worshiping that one. And they begin this rebellion. And that's what I want us to have here. I want us to just rebel against, well, not against, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to join the Rebel Alliance. Now, anybody know what the Rebel Alliance is? Those of you who are Star Wars fans, right? Anyone? Anyone? Good. I don't think I know your name with the glasses and the dark hair. No, not you. Not you, the one next to you. Stand up. With courage and assurance, explain the rebellion, the Rebel Alliance. That's an easy question. The answer is not Jesus. Do you know it? Can you put it in one sentence? If not, it's okay. Either come back. Go ahead and sit down. Here's the Rebel Alliance. It was a group of rebels, yeah, who were against the Galactic Empire. They were against the Emperor. They were against the Chancellor. They were against Darth Vader. They were against the dark side of the Force. They were against that, which was bad. And they said, we're going to fight that. And so they formed this group called the Rebel Alliance. That's what it is in 4, 5, and 6. But in 1, 2, 3, and I think probably in 7, and in Rogue One, and in 8, it was called the Resistance. Because they resisted, they rebelled. And what I'm asking us to do is to join the Rebel Alliance, not some Star Wars thing, not rebelling against Caesar, not rebelling against Darth Vader, but rebelling this Advent and Christmas season against all those things which try to take our focus off the real reason why we're in this season to begin with. You see, the problem is we get caught up in all the trappings of Christmas, and we oftentimes forget. And what I want us to do is to just remember that this isn't just about shopping and stress and anxiety and getting the perfect gift and doing the perfect thing. And this is about, well, it begins and ends with the worship of Jesus. And when I say worship, I'm not talking about what we do here. I mean, it is here, but it's more than that. Worship is a lifestyle. It's a mindset. Worship is when we breathe in the grace and the love and the peace and the mercy of Jesus. And then when we breathe that in, we then breathe out the honor and the thanks and the praise. That's worship. When we breathe in, when we breathe out. It's not just being here. And I'm not against, I love Christmas. I mean, it's my favorite time of the year next to opening day. It is. I mean, I'm not asking you to go against, to rebel against Christmas music, or although I think we shouldn't listen until after Thanksgiving. I think radio stations playing it before Halloween was a little creepy. I'm going to set up my Christmas tree after Thanksgiving. I don't want a Halloween tree. I don't want a Thanksgiving tree. I can't wait to put up my lights or my Department 56 village. I can't wait to go shopping and have all that fun and watch the craziness, because I do all my shopping online. Right? I just love being in this mode. There's something about Christmas. I'm not asking you to give that up. All I want us to do is maybe approach Christmas different this year. And I'm doing this now before we even start Advent, because what I don't want is us to get so caught up in Advent that we forget and Christmas is here and all of a sudden it's December 25th and we just want it to be over. I want us to remember. So here's my what if game, right? This is my little game. This is my challenge. This is what it means to me to join the alliance, the Rebel Alliance. What if every time you see candles or Christmas lights, you remember the one who came into this world as the light of the world? What about that, right? And then when you remember that, maybe then you'll live your life in such a way that reflects that very light. Wouldn't that change Christmas? Wouldn't that be against the norm? Wouldn't that be a rebellion? Oh, what about this? What if every time you were in that crowd of shoppers, right, you just stopped and remembered that because of God's grace, we have everything we need to experience the abundant life, right? And then when you stop to remember that, get this, maybe you will actually smile at someone. Wouldn't that be kind of a rebellion, right? What about this? What if every time you see an opportunity to give, to help someone else, like every time you hear the salvation bell or see that red kettle, you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. And maybe when you remember, maybe that will lead us to experience and practice acts of generosity. I don't know. Sounds like a rebellion to me. Or what this last one? Nope. What if every time you hear a Christmas song, I don't care what it is, Silent Night, Holy Night, Way in the Manger, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, whichever one. Rather than just focusing on that, what would happen if in your mind you remembered the song that the angels sang on that first Christmas to a bunch of shepherds? Maybe then there'll be a song in your heart and you would just experience the joy for that moment. Last one, what if when you go to those Christmas parties that you have to go to and it's crowded, and it's just cram-packed in a small house, what would happen if, instead of being annoyed by that crowd of people, what would happen if you looked at them and you saw them the same way God sees them? As the best of the best of the best. And what would happen if that led you to actually treat them as if that was true? That would be a rebellion. Look, on December 3rd, the last Sunday of this series, we're going to give you an opportunity to sign up and to join the rebellion. But it's not just about putting your name on a piece of paper or whatever. It's about remembering that all of this is about worshiping Jesus. It's about understanding that Jesus truly is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Because if we don't start there, then we have this rebellion, and the rebellion is just against something. And I want to be for something. You see, 2,000 years ago, Christmas changed the world. I believe if we truly put Jesus first in our worship, in our shopping, in our relationships, in our parties, in our gift giving, in our conversation, Christmas can change the world again. And that would be a rebellion. And that's what we as followers of Jesus, well, that's what's in our blood. And that's the good news. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.